All right, so if you grab your Bible and I turn over to 1 Timothy tonight with me. 1 Timothy, we've been going through lessons in 1 Timothy, and we're actually on chapter 3 tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 3. I asked Brother Dawson today when I was with him, he was passing through, and I asked him, I said, do you preach series very often? He says, no, he says, I can't do it. He says, very well. Sometimes I feel the same way, you know, I get started on going a direction, and then I'm just ready to jump to another one. I guess that's ADD, I don't know, but God knows what we are, but I don't feel like I'm a good teacher of facts. I just, if it doesn't move me, I have a hard time moving somebody else. And so tonight's sermon is a lot of facts. I mean, it's knowledge. And I want to tell you, you can't have wisdom without knowledge, because knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. If we're going to be able to use what we know, we have to know something. And so we have to put something in order for us to know. And tonight, several of you look like you worked a long day today, and facts is not what you need. You need, like, you know, like a cattle prod, some electric boost, amen? But tonight, hopefully the Lord will do that. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the boosting, so hopefully that'll happen tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about the office of a bishop. And again, if I was choosing the message, I wouldn't do it, but obviously the Lord put this in the Scripture for us to understand. We've got a lot of people who are pastoring today in this office. And the word office means practice. This practice of a bishop, of what a bishop is supposed to do, and they're not really following the qualifications of what God's laid there. And you know, the other sad thing is we've got a lot of people that are not surrendering, I should say, heeding the call that God gives a person as far as being in this particular office, and we're getting fewer and fewer. You know, let's think about it. People who stop going to church often stop going to church because of an offense, whether it's with the pastor or with another church member. I've had people come, we've had people that are not coming to church because they're offended with another church member. Now, I want to tell you, that's really the level of spirituality of the person, because, you know, you're not supposed to live in offenses. God says you need to get over them. And I said get over them. You're supposed to go take care of them. And sometimes for the pastor, and there are all kinds of pastors, and sometimes it's personality, and sometimes it's because they didn't follow these qualifications, and there's obviously an offense in these areas too. So tonight, we're going to start this direction, but I want to look at verses 1 through 7 tonight. If the Lord allows, maybe He'll let me do the deacon next, so the deacons will want to miss that night. It's interesting how it really sums up the end of this chapter as far as how we're supposed to behave in the church. And I think he's really specifically talking to the pastor and the deacon at the end of the chapter here when he says as far as behaving themselves in the church. Now tonight, we're going to look at this. Let's go ahead and pray again. I know you prayed already. I just want to pray shortly and ask the Lord's help again tonight as we break the bread of life. Father, thank you again for your word. Again, I ask again for the help tonight as far as what to say. Lord, it's important. You put it in the book, so it's important. Help us not to miss what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Look at verse number 1 now. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This is a true saying, of course. Now, it's interesting, he starts off, this is a true saying. In other words, what I'm about to tell you, it's the truth. Look what he says now. Here's the statement. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, church, I want to just stop for a second here. In our city, there's a lot of women pastors, and if they would just read this first verse, because it says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So God's very specific here. This is not up for question, should a woman be a preacher? God says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, and of course, even the qualifications, being the husband of one wife, it's pretty clear that God never intended. I mean, we talked about last week about women professing godliness. And in chapter number 2, he said, in verse number 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. And he's talking about in the church as far as women. So it's kind of hard to be in silence if you're behind the pulpit leading. All right. So in preaching. So again, this idea of women pastors is so foreign to the word of God. And I want to say it's almost blasphemous. It's contrary to the word of God. God never intended for one to pastor a church. You know, it's interesting, too. I'll stop here for just a second. I meet fellas that are going to churches that have women as pastors, and they are satisfied with that. I mean, just the fact of being a man, you ought to be satisfied that the woman has to lead, that you don't have enough gumption to lead yourself. All right. So anyway, it's interesting to me. Now, so he says, first of all, in verse number 1, he says, if a man desire the office of a bishop. Now, I'm a little touchy here on this verse here, because it almost gives the indication that if you desire to be a pastor, go do it. All right. Because it says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, the word desire there means to reach out or to long for. He that desires, he that longs to be, or longs to the office practice. the person who desires the practice of a bishop, practice of a pastor. In other words, they would like to administrate. They would like to teach the word, preach the word. He says, hey, listen, if there's any of you men that desire, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with having that desire. I will be honest with you, I never had that desire. And as far as wanting to pastor, until the Lord called me to pastor, which was just prior to coming here. And then it seemed like I couldn't get it off my mind. It was like, okay, Lord, what are you trying to do? And I had no idea where, when, or how, but I had a desire, a longing for that. Listen, if it was me, I would call several people to the pastorate. All right, I think you and I would agree that there are people out there that desire the office of the pastor. But let's hope that's as far as it goes. All righty, because they would not make a good pastor. Whether it's the lack of people skill, and they say people skill, really the lack of the qualification here, or just not having really the qualifications that are mentioned here. And of course, that's the reason, the only reason as far as not being a pastor. And I want to just stop and say this before I get any farther. Hey, listen, some of you fellas in here ought to ask God, God, do you want me to pastor? Do you want me to preach the gospel in a way of a church setting? Now, all of us are preachers going into all the world and preach the gospel. All of us are supposed to give the gospel, whether you're a man or a woman. Worse, the word preacher means to herald. We're supposed to herald the gospel. But when we're talking about preaching the gospel, that's different than when we're talking about pastoring the church or being, as the Bible says here, the word bishop, which means overseer. All right, now let's look at the qualifications quickly tonight. Maybe I should have done a handout tonight to keep you with me. But look at verse number 2. It says, a bishop then must. Now, think for a second here. First, Paul here, under the inspiration of God, tells Timothy, he says, listen, Timothy, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work, all right, in his work. But then he goes on to say, now, if you desire that work, let me remind you there are some qualifications with that work, because desire is not the only thing. There's a lot of guys that desire to pastor, but then they do not fulfill these qualifications that are mentioned. So here's the qualifications. Look at verse number 2 again. A bishop, overseer, bishop then must be, what's the first word? Blameless, all right? Now, we often say with that word blameless, they can't have a handle on something that a person does that would be a sinful activity that a person could actually say or blame you, take the blame. That person is a liar, all right? And because there's a history of lying, or that person is immoral because there's a history. It's something that you can grab a handle on. But church family, it doesn't mean that the pastor or the office, I should say, the office or practice of bishop, he's not saying he's sinless. All right, that's not what he's saying. The word blameless does not mean sinless. It just means without a handle. All right, the pastor is just as human as anybody else. He's going to do things that are wrong. But is there something in his life that a person could put a handle on that it would be a sinful activity that would be dishonoring to that office? He says, first of all, he has to be blameless. Second of all, he goes on to say, the husband of one wife. Now, I will tell you, there's a lot of people that believe that means that one wife at a time, which gives them the permission to divorce their wives and get another one, okay? And I want to tell you, with the internet today, people want to try to twist scripture, and you will find somebody that will say it's okay to be divorced and be a pastor. But the Bible teaches here, when it's talking about husband and one wife, he's talking about marriage. He's talking about being married to one wife. Now, again, scripture interprets scripture, and you say, well, pastor, what do you do about the person that their spouse died? Well, he talked about that in the book of Corinthians. He said, you're not under the law if your spouse dies. In other words, you can marry again. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about putting away your wife and taking another. So the qualification of being a pastor is no, you cannot and should not be divorced. All right. He goes on to say next, vigilant. The word vigilant just means watchful. The word sober means of a sound mind, uncorrupt mind, serious mind, good behavior. Talking about how he behaves or how he presents himself and what does he do? Hey, you know, again, I used the word people skill a few moments ago. You know, a lot of our people skill has to do, now he's going to talk about hospitality in a moment, but a lot of our people skill has to do how we behave with people, all right? In other words, can you be appropriate in different types of situations, all right? Telling jokes is usually not done at a funeral, all right? He's talking about the qualification of a pastor, having good behavior when it comes with people, all right? Goes on to say the next here, he says, good behavior, given to hospitality, all right? The practice of receiving or entertaining strangers. Does the pastor enjoy being with people, all right? I know there's some pastors that, you know, you're going to see them behind the pulpit, and that's the only time you're going to see them, okay? But that's not really what the Lord wants. The Lord wants you to be able to intermingle with people. having a meal with somebody, going out with somebody, being able to go soul winning with somebody. He's talking about giving the hospitality, being able to help others and being able to spend time with others. And again, it's the idea of taking care and generously with others. All right. Look at the next thing. Apt to teach, he says. He says, in verse number two, the last part, being apt to teach. Again, I already started off by saying I don't feel like I'm very strong in this area. But the idea of being apt to teach, being able to instruct or to inform or to communicate truth to other people. All right. Being apt to teach. Look at the next one. Verse number three. Not given to wine. All right. Again, I just believe that you're not supposed to have anything to do with alcohol. We don't believe in social drinking, little drinking here or there, little wine for the stomach's sake is not referring to alcohol. It's referring to the true grape of the vine juice. All right. Next one. No striker. All right. That means you're not supposed to light any fires. All right. Keep the fires out. No striker. No, that's not what that means. I'm just joking. Talking about being a quarrelsome type person, a person who's going to strike others. Now, I failed in that in my first part of my ministry when I slapped that woman. But I've repented of that, and I just know I'm blameless because I have not done it several times, even though I thought about doing it several other times. All right, so I'm not a striker. So a striker, a person who's quarrelsome, a person who's going to have that kind of argumentative attitude about himself. Not greedy of filthy lucre. He can't have a strong desire for money. All right. You know, it's interesting, too. I was talking about Dawson again today, and a fellow was interviewing these youth directors that were going to come work for him, or assistant pastors would come work for him. And he said both of them, the two that this, again, I don't know the fellow, but he was this pastor interviewing these assistant pastors, both of them that he interviewed, here's their first two questions. Question number one, what am I going to be paid? Question number two, is my wife not allowed to wear pants? I was shocked. I mean, both questions by these assistants that were coming to work for this pastor. He said the first two questions was, what am I going to get paid? Second question is, can my wife wear pants? And I want to tell you, that pants issue is another issue all in itself. It's just amazing the day that we're living in today, how many people are in ministry, and the separation from the world when it comes to dress is just thrown out the window. But I want this idea about not being greedy of filthy lucre. It's funny because Brother Dawson and I, when we were talking a little bit, because he was telling me about that story, and he was talking about, you know, what the first position he took and how much he had gotten paid. He was driving a truck. Brother Dawson was driving for a trucking firm, making really good money. And the church that he was going to, he knew he was going to start a church eventually in that area, but the church needed an assistant, and so they asked Brother Dawson to be the assistant, and he was going to have to give up his job in January. This was like September. And he never found out what he was going to be paid. I mean, he never found out what he was going to be paid. And so he said yes, because he believed it was God's will for his life. And he took it, and he said, when I took that job and stopped working for the trucking company, it was like minimum wage. And he had already had several children there at home, and it was very difficult for him. And I was musing because when I worked for my dad out of college, I was making $50 a week. And I remember coming to Heritage and the church interviewing me, and the fellas had mentioned, they said, and they were, Brother Stumpel was actually on the board at that time, was one of the trustees at that time. And they said, you know, we can't give you too much, very much. They were a little bit embarrassed about it, but they said, we can give you $200 a week. Well, when you were making $50 a week and you get $200 a week, and I was going to get four times what I was already making, and I didn't tell them I was making $50 a week, I was very, very, very happy. He said, well, you're going to be staying in the church. But the idea of not being greedy of filthy lucre. In other words, your life is not about what you're getting. If you're in the office of the pastor, you're supposed to live a life of giving, not getting. And so that's not an idea of how much. All right. So he goes on to say, let's take the next one here. He says, not greedy of filthy lucre. See here, what verse am I on here? Let me just pick up verse number three. Not given to wine, now striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. And I'm already under conviction about this. We're going to stop this early, but being patient, all right? And it's like driving behind slow people. But anyway, you're driving, and you're supposed to be patient, and you're supposed to be patient with people. Why are you all looking at Justin? But anyway, you're supposed to be patient, all right, when you're with people, all right? And really that idea of patience is not just driving behind him, but it's also the idea of cheerful endurance when you're going through a rough time. All right. Hey, church, we all face mountains and valleys, but I want to tell you something. For a pastor, he has to be careful that even when he's going through times that are not most pleasant, he still has to be patient. All right. So that's what he's teaching as far as a qualification here. Next one here, he says patient. He says not a brawler. Similar to as far as not being a striker, not to be withstood. In other words, not contentious, abstaining from fighting. Talking about brawling there. Not covetous. Again, kind of the idea of greedy and filthy lucre, not excessively eager to obtain possessions and things of that sort. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection, with all gravity. The word gravity means honorable. He says, having his children in subjection. Hey, Trishimi, I would say that out of all of the qualifications, I would say that this would be close to the top that seems to come up with ministers a lot as far as their children. And I've had more than once a pastor call me and say, hey, what do I do? My kids, you know, left home, or my kids doing this or that. I had a pastor here call me not too long, probably maybe 6-8 months ago. And it was his daughter. And he said, you know, what do I do? My daughter left home. She got a tattoo. There was just, she's not living with anybody or being immoral. She just doesn't want to do the rules. And so she kind of just left it on her own. She's got herself an apartment. She works a job. Anyway, he was ready to quit the ministry. And, you know, I really believe that when the Bible's talking about here, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? You know, when your kids get of age and they leave home. Now, if you have, I really believe when it talks about there, and it talks about having his children in subjection, that if your children are at home and you can't tell them what to do and they're telling you what to do, you ought not to be in ministry. Now, I believe strongly in that. But some of these guys that are wanting to quit ministries because their children have actually left home and they've left a blot or a stain upon the pastor's reputation. But there's still, the pastor had his house under subjection because while the child is in their home, that child does what the dad says. But if they don't want to obey the rules and they leave, I think if they're outside the home, that's not what he's talking about. Having your children in subjection. You know, Sharon's gone. And, of course, she's married and she's married well and done fine. But if Sharon was to go off her rocker and go haywire and get tattoos put on her and she's, you know, drinking and doing all this other things that she shouldn't be doing, she's not in my house. All right. So, again, this idea of the office of the pastor, you have no business being the pastor if your kids are at home and they're unruly. In other words, you can't control them. You can't tell them what to do. They're telling you what to do. They're dressing like they want to dress because you don't have enough sternness to say, hey, you're not going to wear that. It's that kind of thing. Hey, it's not saying that their children are not going to be disobedient. Now, I know I'm the exception of the rule because my children are angels and they never do anything wrong. Okay. But there are pastors out there that have kids that, you know, have a carnal spirit about them and, you know, they don't necessarily do right. And sometimes they, you know, they'll backtalk or sometimes they don't show the respect to authority that they should. And I'm just thankful that my kids never do anything wrong. All right. So one day it might happen. All right. So when it does, I'll have to deal with that. All right. So it says, how are you going to be able to rule the church of God? In other words, if you can't tell your kids no, how are you going to tell a church member no? All right. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, hey, listen, there needs that. You're proving yourself by how you lead your children or how you're going to lead the church. All right. All right. Goes on to say next thing. I hope you understood I was joking a moment ago. All right. I know you all thought Stephen was the angel in the family. All right. Number six, he says, not a novice. All right. Then the word novice means new in business. All right. Somebody that's not been saved a long time. You don't just get saved and become a pastor. All right. So not a novice. There needs to be some time of, again, proving yourself and growing as a Christian. Next one. Verse number six says not a novice. And the reason for it, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. The condemnation of the devil was pride. That's why he was cast out of heaven. Verse seven. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without. Talking about those without the church. In other words, church family, we're the sixth largest city in the state of Kansas as far as Lawrence goes. But can you imagine being in a smaller city and everybody knows you and you become the pastor of the church, but you have a bad reputation outside the church? No one's ever going to come to that church. All right. So he says, hey, listen, you need to have a good testimony with those that are without. All right. That's a qualification there. Let's see. Good report in the mouth. Next one. Lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. All right. So again, that ends verse number seven. Church, I'm not going to take the time tonight to go to it, but Titus also has the rest of them. What Paul wrote to Timothy, he wrote several of the similar things to Titus, and then he added a few other things when he was writing to Titus. He said in Titus, he says, I don't want you to be self-willed. I don't want you to be soon angry. I want you to be a lover of good men. I want you to be just. I want you to be holy. I want you to be temperate, meaning self-control. And I want you to hold fast the faithful word. So several things that he gave as qualifications of being a pastor. So here, you're doing great, but you just stay with me for a second here. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, Timothy, he says, this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of bishop, there are going to be people who desire to be able to be a practice or to practice or to do what a bishop does, what a leader, what an administrator, what an overseer does. There's people that are going to desire that. OK, but not everybody can just jump in that spot. Now, at our church at this present time, praise the Lord. I mean, we don't have anybody that would be necessarily desiring and unqualified. All right. Now, I want to tell you, there's several of you that are qualified. But God hasn't called you. And I just want to stress tonight, okay, the desire is one thing, but being called is the major thing. All righty. And again, I believe with that desire, if you have the qualifications, and think about it, church family, you have a safeguard here. Can you imagine if everybody that wanted to be a pastor is just, okay, I want to be a pastor, vote me in. All right. He says, okay, hold on for a second here. Are you the husband of one wife? Okay, hold on for a second. How's your reputation outside the walls of this church? Okay, hold on for a second here. All right, how long have you been saved? Are you a novice? All these qualifications help a person from just jumping behind the pulpit and starting to try to lead a group of people that God did not call to be that leader. It gives us something on paper to say, okay, check, 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 check. Oh, I'm not so sure about this one. All right. And you know, the nice thing about this passage is there's no speculation to it. You want to be a pastor? Well, I'm telling you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Here's what you need to make sure that is in your life to make this happen. Now, I don't want to discourage anybody tonight. Going to this office, this practice of what a bishop is not an impossible thing because there are no perfect people. All right. There's nobody that's going to say, man, I fulfill all those 23, 24 things and about 10, 15 more. That's not the case. We're all sinners. But he's trying to say, hey, listen, there's some things that you need to make sure are present in your life before you just jump into the ministry and try to pastor people. And specifically, we're not dealing with tonight, but it's the call of God upon a person's life. Now, church family, tonight, I know this is a lot of knowledge tonight, and I hesitate even giving you everything tonight. But to me, this office of the pastor is very much described in the names in Scripture as far as what a pastor is supposed to be. And tonight, I'm just going to name them. I don't think I'm going to teach them tonight. But the names of a bishop in the Scriptures is, number one, pastor. Again, what a pastor is, it comes from the word pasture. When we talk about the word pastor as far as leading a flock. Another name in Scripture given to the bishop is the word overseer, which means superintendent. Another word is the word elder, which gives the idea that it's a person who's not a novice, an elder, a person who's been around as far as the ministry goes. The word bishop, again, meaning superintendent. The word shepherd, we get that as the under-shepherd. God is called the shepherd in Scripture. He's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. So when we refer to the pastor's not that kind of shepherd. He's the under-shepherd, again, leading the flock that God's given. He's called the preacher in 1 Timothy 1, verse number 11, a person who just, again, gives the truth of the Word of God. He's called a teacher. He's called a servant. And he's called a messenger in Revelation 1:20. So again, all of these different statements that have to do with what the bishop is. Now, tonight, if you don't mind, since you're doing so well tonight, I want to just teach quickly tonight on the responsibility of what the pastor is supposed to be doing. All right. Now, after tonight's message, you're going to fire me and get somebody else. But at least I will have given you the truth tonight. All right. The Bible teaches that there's 5 or 6 responsibilities. I'm going to quickly go through them as quickly as I went through the requirements. There are responsibilities as far as the bishop, if any of you desire the office of a bishop. So here's what they are. All right. Now, church family, if I was to ask you to take out pen and paper tonight and ask you, you tell me what you think a pastor ought to be or what a pastor ought to do. All of you would raise your hand or write down several different things. You'd say, well, the pastor ought to be a soul winner, or the pastor ought to have a walk with God, or the pastor ought to be good with finances. Depending on who you are tonight, you would come up with something that you think that a pastor. I'm going to tell you what the Scripture says, and I'm not going to turn to them. It's topical. I'm not going to turn to them. I'll tell you the passages. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says that the pastor, as your pastor, is supposed to be doing for you. Number one, 1 Peter chapter 5, feed the flock of God. All right, now it's real simple. If you're going to be do the office, David is planning on going to Kenya. All right, now a missionary is a pastor. All right, he's a pastor on a foreign field. Ben Smith is a pastor. David Deal will be a pastor there, as far as they're in Panama City. So, in order to be a pastor, what is a pastor supposed to do? Well, you know, there's a lot the pastor does, work of the ministry. But what is part of that? It's feeding the flock of God. All right, so when you come to church, hopefully, You're learning something or getting something. No, I know some of it's review. Goodness, how many times have you read 1 Timothy 3? Many of you have read through your Bible scores of time. You've gone over those qualifications and it makes sense to you. And so tonight, just like he said in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, some things are good for me to say because for you it is safe. In other words, I need to hear those things again. So again, what's the pastor supposed to do? Feed the flock of God. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, talks about feeding the flock of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. John 21, 15 through 17. This is the things that the Bible says of feeding the flock as far as giving them the word. Hey, let me say this quickly, too. When it comes to giving you the word of God, now I know every night's different. Sometimes during the Wednesday night's always the toughest for some of you because you worked all day and you come to church and some of you skip supper and you're a good Christian in my eyes. But I just want to tell you, Here's how I come up with as far as what messages you need, okay? This is real simple, okay? I believe that every service, God has something for each person. So there's a particular message for a particular people at a particular time. I just believe that. So series are really difficult for me because I want to make sure that I'm not just preaching what the next topic is, but what the message is. In other words, all right, so God says, Scott, I want you to tell, he calls me Pastor Hanks. Pastor Hanks, I want you to tell so-and-so this message, all right? And so God shows me what to say, and then I share it to you. That's a message. It's not a sermon. It's a message. So tonight's message is to tell you the office of a bishop. That's what we've been dealing with tonight. The office, the practice, the ministry, what the bishop is supposed to do. Now, some of you girls tonight, I know you, man, you turned me off right away because you're never going to be a pastor, and thank God you figured that much out. You're not supposed to be a pastor. So as your pastor, there, if I'm going to feed the flock of God, the food's not for me, the food's from God, because the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. All right. So in other words, God has a word for you. I need to find out what that word is to be able to give it to you. All right. So I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want for the church family on Wednesday night? What do you want for the church family on Sunday, for the services, Sunday morning, Sunday night? What do you want for the church family? And oftentimes, and I should say all the time, but God shows me a particular passage of scripture or a particular thought. I wrote down tonight, Sunday's thought, if the Lord allows me to preach it, on a napkin. I was out today and a thought came to my mind. I wrote it on a napkin so I didn't forget it. And I'll study that out and work on it. And then by God's grace, I will give that to you. What is that? Feeding the flock of God. God has something from His Word for you. All right? So again, that's one of the responsibilities. Next one I want to think about is this. In Acts 20, verse number 28, I'm real tempted to turn to these passages with you. Acts 20, 28, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 2, he's supposed to oversee the church. All right, we use that. The word bishop actually means overseer, but he's supposed to oversee the church. Church family, we're about to make changes in the Sunday school. So I had to meet with all the particular teachers that are going to get new group leaders or group helpers. Then I had to meet with I'm still working on this, but I have to meet with the group leaders as far as, what is that? That's part of the overseeing of the church. Before Joy writes the checks to pay the bills, and you got the business reading report, every Monday morning she gives me a list of all the people that the church owes. Every Monday morning, a list of all the people. And so as the overseer, I check and circle all the ones that we're supposed to pay, and then I give that sheet back to her, and then she writes all the checks, and then the deacons, we have double signature checks, and deacons, I can sign too, but the deacons sign the checks for the most part, and then we send all those checks out. What am I doing? I'm just the overseer of the church. All right, so what is the responsibility of the pastor? First of all, he's supposed to feed the flock of God, give you the word of God. Second of all, he's supposed to oversee the church. I oversee insurance. Goodness gracious. Our church is paying like $23,000, $24,000 a year in insurance just for our buildings and the camp. And I mean, have to deal with all those different things. And can you imagine if we had to had a business meeting every time we had to deal with the insurance company? Oh, my goodness. And so you're very thankful for that, too. And so what happens is one person that oversees what's going on. The ministries of the church, the bus ministry and the nursing home ministry and the retirement home ministry and the juvenile detention and the jail ministry. Hey, Brother Myers takes care of the jail, and Brother Stumpel takes care of the prison, and Brother Nearing takes care of the juvenile. They oversee the ministries, but they'll send me emails and say, Pastor, this is what the chaplain said, and what are we supposed to do in this particular situation? I'm just the overseer, right? So that's just the idea of the print shop and the Christian school and all the things that are going on in the church. He is just an overseer, all right? Next one, 1 Timothy 4, verse number 12, is a general verse to Timothy when he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an what? Example. And then it's also mentioned in 1 Peter 5, 3, that he is supposed to be an example to the flock. All right. Now, church, I know some of this is not new to most of you tonight, but an example means die mold. An example means die mold. We were just at the Museum of Science and Industry with the kids for the teen thing. And when I was a little kid, they had that machine and it was still there. I don't know if it's the same one, but it's still there. And I didn't show it to the other teens when they were walking by. But you put I think back then it was 50 cents. I wasn't paying attention how much now it is, probably a buck. But you put your money in, and all of a sudden it has this steel mold, and it pours this hot wax into the steel mold, and it takes about 2 minutes. And all of a sudden the die mold opens up, and this wax figure falls down, and you reach down, and you pull it out. I think when we were there this last time, it was a submarine, if I remember correctly, the submarine. But it's a wax, and it's hot wax. When you get it out, I mean, it's hot, but at the same token, it formed to the mold. Well, that's the idea of the pastor. He's supposed to be a die mold. He's supposed to be an example to the flock. I'm supposed to be an example when it comes to devotion. I'm supposed to be an example when it comes to witnessing. I'm supposed to be an example when it comes to preaching. I'm supposed to be an example. I think that it's supposed to be a pastor. It's supposed to be an example in every area, both physically and spiritually. All right? I mean, what would you think of me in my, you know, I came out to church and my tie was always like this, and I had my belly hanging out way out to here, and I had my shirt untucked over here, and I had my hair going 15 different directions like Jake tonight. What would you all think about that if I came out like that to a service? All right, you think, what in the world? We got Huckleberry Finn as our pastor, all right? And so, again, the pastor's supposed to be an example in every area of his life. All right, of those things. And by the way, church family, I want to say it again. He's not perfect, but this office is important to God. All right. So again, God put some speculations on it. He says, I want you to be an example. Next of all, he says, number one, supposed to feed the flock. Number two, oversee the church. Number three, my responsibility is to be, number three, be an example. Number four, preach the word. Romans 10:15, 1 Corinthians 9:16, Colossians 1:25, Colossians 1:28, 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. All right. I know, y'all, you're doing wonderful. Everyone say amen. 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 Great. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're with us tonight. All right, now, church, let me preach the word. We're living in a society today where people don't want to preach the Bible any longer. All right, we want to preach things that make you feel good. We want to preach on periodicals. There's nothing wrong with using illustration. There's nothing wrong with talking about current events that are going on. But we got to go back to what the Word of God says. All right, so my responsibility is to teach and preach the Word of God. What are we talking about tonight? The office of a pastor. Where did it come from? Come from 1 Timothy 3, the Word of God. So, again, he's supposed to have responsibility is to make sure that he preaches and teaches the Word of God. Quickly, next one, number five. My responsibility as a bishop, and what the bishop is supposed to do is give themselves, talking about the bishop himself, give themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Acts 6, verse number 4, 1 Timothy 4:13-16, 1 Timothy 5:17. I know I'm just quoting the references, but I just want you to understand tonight, these are not things I'm just telling you. The Word of God teaches very clearly what the man of God is supposed to do. He's supposed to give himself continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now, church family, I haven't gotten to deacons, if the Lord lets us, we'll talk about it, but you remember that came from the book of Acts, that the apostles had neglected the widows and there was murmurings and criticisms among the Grecians. And so, you know what? They said, hey, listen, it's not good for us to serve tables because we need to. And so when the deacons came along, they were to give themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. All right. To prayer and the ministry of the word. Hey, church, I want to tell you, there's a lot of times that there are things that take me away from those things. And I'm not trying to make excuses tonight. But there are days that have gone by that I've not prayed for you. And that's sad. And it shouldn't happen. And by the way, that's not just necessarily because of me needing your help. It's because sometimes my lack of self-discipline. But you know what the apostles were saying? I'm so busy trying to take care of this widow over here that I'm neglecting the most important thing. And that's prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now, the ministry of the Word is several things, okay? Ministry of the Word is me reading the Bible. Ministry of the Word is me preparing a message. Ministry of the Word is me writing a Sunday school lesson. Ministry of the Word is me giving the gospel to somebody. It entails a lot. It's not just me reading my Bible. And so God says, hey, listen, the reason, Brother Josh Daniels, man, I'm going to tell you right now, and Brother Mize are the two male staff members that I have that are on staff with me. And you know what? They do trivial things, but those trivial things that they do saves me from doing trivial things. I know it sounds crazy. And you know what? They're willing to do anything, which is a blessing. Brother Mize this morning, I passed him this morning. I think it was a 602, 603. But this morning, Brother Mize is already out gassing up the bus. That's why I didn't miss him. I could see him from a mile away. But I was driving in town. And I passed him, and he had gone to get the bus. Now, I want to tell you something. I am so thankful I am not gassing up buses. I mean, that's a wonderful thing, amen? And so Brother Mize takes care of that. You know one reason he takes care of that? Because as the overseer of the church, I should make sure that there's gas in those buses one way or another. And so guess what? He goes over and gets the bus gassed up. I never have to. I haven't gassed up a bus in I don't know how long. I don't remember the last time I gassed up a bus. And you know why? Because the church is doing what they're supposed to do. Make sure the pastor gives himself continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. All right, that's what the bishop's supposed to do. Last one is this. Again, these are responsibilities of what a pastor is supposed to do. I don't like the last one. Let's not do the last one. Let's go ahead and close in prayer, all right? Oh, man, I forgot about this one here, all right? The first one is that we're supposed to feed the flock. The second of all is we're supposed to oversee the church. Third, we're supposed to be an example. Fourth of all, we're supposed to preach the word. Fifth of all, we're supposed to give themselves continually prayer and the ministry of the word. Sixth of all, we're supposed to follow after righteousness. And here's the last one. This is what I was looking at. Be gentle unto all men. Can you imagine that? Philippians 2 and verse number 3, 1 Timothy 3, 3, 1 Timothy 6, 11, 1 Timothy 2, 24 to 26, Titus 3, 2, James 1, 19 to 20. It's amazing how many times he said, be gentle unto all men. Now, why would you have to tell a pastor to be gentle unto men? I don't understand that. I mean, it's just because you have to deal with people all the time. I don't know why you have to be gentle to all men. All right? I would think that that would not even be a qualification. But he says, hey, listen, I want you to be nice to that 5-year-old running in the hallway. I want you to be nice to that senior saint that's going senile. I want you to be nice to that several other people in here. But anyway, he says, I want you to be gentle. I want you to be kind to everybody. All right. So tonight, I just told you what my responsibilities are for, as your pastor from the Bible. That's exactly what I'm supposed to do. Now, I want to close by saying this. This is a true saying, by the way. If a man desire the office of bishop, he desireth a good work. Hey, I don't know who it is, and I don't have anybody in mind tonight, but I want to tell you, some of you fellas ought to at least be asking God. You know, for my children right now, I ask the Lord that, Lord, please help my kids to stay pure, stay clean. Would you please give them the mate that you want? When they get to that age, would you please give them the mate that you want them to have? Okay, so I'm doing that. But I don't know who they're going to marry, or if they're going to marry. I don't know, you know, but I can pray generally that my kids do right, live for God. I can pray generally. I don't know what God's specific will is. You know? I don't know what they're going to be in life. I hope they make good money somewhere and take care of me when I'm old, maybe. But can I tell you that I don't think it would hurt any of you fellas in here to pray generally. Hey, God, if you want me in ministry, would you please show me if you want me in ministry? Hey, by the way, it might not be God's will for you to be in ministry, but you can at least pray. Hey, God, if it's your will, would you please make it known to me if you want me in ministry? You know, I told you my story before, but, you know, when I graduated from high school, I wanted to be in ministry. And that was a want-to. It wasn't really a calling for me. But I wanted to. So when I graduated, I went to college because I was hoping the Lord put me in ministry. So I took the thing that was the easiest to do in college. I learned to be a school teacher. All right, now that sounds crazy because the school teachers work hard. And then I took the two easiest, what are they called? Not electives. What are those called? Majors. I took the two easiest majors. I took speech, and I took PE. I know that sounds crazy, but I figure I could get up and tell a story. So speech and PE. Oh, I love PE, man. When I was in college, I had a class on baseball. I had a class on wrestling. I mean, it was fun. You talk about coming to class. You got to come to class in your old clothes. I mean, it was just a blast. I thought, man, this is college. So, but you know what? After I finished my first year of college, you know, that's when I surrendered to do whatever he wanted. It was in April of after my freshman year. I said, God, I'll just do whatever you want. And God didn't call me to pastor then. But it was, again, just before I had come here, the summer before the Lord had us come here, the Lord said, I want you to pastor. And I knew it because he kept bringing it to mind over and over and over and over. Lord, this is what I want you to do. Hey, some of you guys in here, you ought to just say, God, hey, listen, whatever you want for my life, that's what I want. And by the way, he might not call you to service, but at least you're saying I'm available. Amen? This is a true saying. It's not a lie. If a man desire, long for a want, the office of bishop, he desireth a good work. And it is a good work. And I will close by saying, I am thankful for the work that God's called me to. And I'm thankful for the Heritage Baptist Church. I'm thankful for you as a people. I'm thankful for being in Lawrence, Kansas. I can't think of a better place in the world to be than to be in Lawrence, Kansas. And I meet pastors all the time that are not happy where they're at. And I think to myself, are you in the will of God? Did God call you there? Then you're in the best place you could ever be. Best place you could ever be. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?